And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday morning. I hope everybody is doing well out there. Right now, 54 degrees, a little chilly out there. So if you are about to head out, maybe take the light jacket out before you head on out. But it will get nicer later on today as we'll get to a high of near 80 today. And online with us this morning is Representative Jim Kelly. And Mr. Kelly, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
It is a nice, cool morning.
It is. It is a very cool morning. So 54 degrees. So, yeah, again, it is light jacket weather. Of course, me, I'm just like, it's always shorts weather for me. So today, sir, a few things that you did want to talk about. One of the things you did want to talk about was, funding from the legislative about first the emergency order, correct?
Yeah, there was, well, in the emergency order, talked about not so much money in that one, although it was talked about. They extended the emergency order for Kansas from September 15th, when it expired from the legislative special session back in June. It expired on September 15th, and they moved it to October 15th. And probably the biggest discussion during the extension of that emergency order by the Legislative Coordinating Council, which is a group, the governor and nine legislators, probably the biggest discussion was over the potential of future business closures. And they ended up agreeing language would be put in the emergency order that the governor does not have an intention of shutting Kansas businesses again, and so that particular insertion in there, according to our attorney general, is important in the legal realms, is that it actually has it in writing versus a handshake agreement, basically, is the way that I'd look at it. And so some certainty for Kansas businesses, both big and small, and that we wouldn't go through another shutdown and have more job furloughs. In this particular, they can do it at like 30 days at a time. So it'll come back, but that I'm sure will be in it going forward if it is extended. And it's extended because it makes Kansas eligible for some of the federal dollars, the CARES Act and all that was talked about in a Legislative Coordinating Council meeting yesterday. So that one was really extending the order and keeping it in place. Yesterday, they talked about spending some of that money that came in, and they approved about $290 million in spending, and a fair share of that money, about $105 million of it, was going to extended testing for coronavirus, and it was going to be, you know, across the state. There was some money set aside for prisons and care and long-term care facilities to do additional testing and trying to get the Kansas testing rate up, because what I've heard and read is that Kansas currently ranks among the lowest in testing volume and has the highest rates in new positives. So they think extending out the testing will be very important. So money was appropriated for that out of these funds. And then also there was some money put aside for housing stability and then for child care programs to enable parents to return to work. And although I haven't seen it in writing, I have heard just through some other conversations that in that housing, there may be the possibility of some assistance to landlords, who on renters. They can't evict or render, or they can't foreclose. Financial institutions can't foreclose on a buyer. And I think it would be probably go more to the realm of landlords, that there is a possibility there could be something that would come out of that when it's figured out. So those two, that meeting yesterday was really fairly calm. The meeting the week before was just the opposite. There was long discussions on whether the wording should be in writing or not. As it turned out, it was. So that's the two things that kind of tied themselves together. And then the spending of the money, I think, will have some positive effects on the testing and the housing and the child care. It'll give some assistance on that. So those were two good things that happened in the last, really the last week with the Legislative Coordinating Council.
And also, I think it was about a week or maybe a week and a half ago, Governor Laura Kelly, basically applied so that unemployed Kansans could get an additional $300 a week for unemployment. And I just kind of want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I think, of course, it's positive that that money will be available. You know, probably a number of weeks out as the Kansas Department of Labor ramps up their system, because it's a little different payment and a little different amount. I mean, I think it will be beneficial to the individuals that need it, definitely. And it, I think it will also, there seems to be some much more, positive thoughts coming from employers, because with the $600 figure that was there before, when they had their jobs open back up, they were having, widespread reporting, they were having difficulty getting some of their furloughed employees to want to come back to work. And so the $300 will be beneficial, but I think it will be less of a hindrance when employees are called back. So that will go on. I think they put in they really are doing this with federal money. So the $300, it's the Lost Wages Assistance Program. And you'd have to, of course, lost your job due to the COVID pandemic. I think it's positive, and hopefully the Labor Department can get geared up for that quickly.
Yeah, because I know some, and it's not just in Kansas, you know, you got states around that have had trouble with unemployment. Of course, Oklahoma kind of paid attention to that one as well. They've had issues as well, and I know there was some computer issues with the Department of Labor with that. So hopefully that can we can get going on with that to help out those Kansans that are still unemployed due to the COVID-19, because this would be just for COVID-19. People are unemployed because of COVID-19. This wouldn't be just like standard unemployment, correct?
No, this would be in addition to standard unemployment for individuals that are affected by COVID. Their employment has been affected by COVID.
Okay. And then another one you wanted that was talk about of, COVID hotspots.
Yeah. There has been, let's say, and it probably will continue to be some big discussions on releasing the names of businesses or locations where there have been COVID clusters. And last week was the first week that that has ever been done, that they would identify a specific business or a place, whether it was healthcare, wherever there was a COVID cluster. And I'm not sure. There are so many active cases, I think, define a cluster. And this week they did not do that, because there was quite a bit of pushback from businesses that By the time they identified them as a cluster, the cluster was already gone. And so, the Secretary of Health did say that it takes a number of weeks sometimes to put some of that information together, and if there were deaths, what the death was originally, was caused by. And so this week they did not identify the locations. And I think he indicated, or was indicated by the department, that, you know, they were trying to look at their numbers to see, to get better on how many cases are active, so that the clusters, you wouldn't be identified as a COVID cluster, and that was a month ago. And you've taken care of it, and you've dealt with it, and it's not the case anymore. But I also did hear that there was a news organization that was trying to use the Freedom of Information Act to get that information, and they wanted to continue publishing. That was quite a discussion last week. The Kansas Chamber of Commerce, the Small Business Organization, and a number all weighed in on that, including healthcare facilities and all that weighed in on that. So hopefully, if they do, under the Freedom of Information, end up with the information, I hope it's information that is accurate. And, XYZ company is not identified as a cluster if a month ago they had it and all those cases are over and they've, taken steps to try to prevent it again. I hope that it is accurate information and not information that's old.
Right. So,
but that's a controversial piece. I mean, there's arguments on two sides. You know, one, the business, hey, you know, we've taken care of it. It shouldn't be listed. And on the other side, well, we need to know where to go and where not to go. So it's a tough subject, and hopefully they come up with a good, reasonable answer to make everyone happy.
Yeah, Dr. Lee Norman said that they suspended it because they want the department to have better data to reflect the current cases instead of old cases, like you just said, and that they expect to resume their cluster information next week until they can kind of work out things there and make sure it's actually, good current information, not old information.
Yes, and I think that's important. I mean, you would hate to be a business identified as a cluster, and that was a month ago.
Right.
And so if they're going to do it, I think it has to be like you read there. It has to be timely, mm-hmm. and it has to be as accurate as it can be.
Absolutely, because again, especially now in this day and age, a month is a huge time span. So things do change very, very quickly. And another thing we wanted to bring up, and we actually talked a little bit about this off the air before we came on this morning, was about the sales and income tax. And one of the things I'd brought up is like, was the income tax just a little bit behind this year because of the filing date being moved from April to July 15th? Basically, it was pushed back 3 months. How that affected maybe income tax and also sales tax?
It being pushed back, the income tax pushed back until July 15th did have an impact as far as money coming in slower, and time period, there was income tax was not doing bad, but running behind. Now, when we look at the August receipts that were released last week, there were a couple interesting things to note. In the year-over-year increase in compensating use tax collections, that is sales tax coming in off of online sales. That is increasing, and it's because Kansas has now is registering more out-of-state sellers. The number of registrations have gone up, so those that have registered have to submit the tax that is due to Kansas, and that number has gone up, and it's one of the things that's been shot for a long time, and I think there'll be modifications suggested this coming session to try to improve that, but to create a more fairness between out-of-state online retailers and Main Street retailers. And right now a lot of places have to collect Kansas sales tax. You know, if you look at Amazon, and if they sell into Kansas, they have to collect Kansas sales tax because they have locations in Kansas. We had the one in Coffeyville, and now there's some up in the Kansas City area. So they collect sales tax, but not all of the third-party vendors that sell on Amazon collect sales tax. So that is what we're shooting for, to try to get some of that money that we lost because people shopped online, and there was a lot of online shopping during the pandemic. And then the income and sales tax receipts were $50 million or 10% above the estimate. So we brought in $554 million in the August sale numbers, and the estimate was $504 million. So, and it was actually above last August. It was 11% above last August. So now some of that is more than likely some of the delayed money still trickling in on income tax. But still, I think that's positive. And fiscal year to date, they're $43 million or 2% above estimates. And when you look at that and you look that we've gone through the pandemic and that the estimates were lowered in April because of the pandemic. So it's not what the original estimates were, but when there's a case where it beat last August, which was outside of the pandemic, I think that's something different than a lot of people feared, that it would be just completely tanked. One other interesting, tidbit was the tax on liquor gallonage is up sharply for the month. And cigarette taxes were up slightly in August, but it kind of goes along with what you read, that during the pandemic, there's been a lot more, libations going down than there had been in the past when it reads that it increased sharply.
Yes, sir, it has. Well, sir, we've unfortunately run out of time this month, but we'll talk to you again next month at this same time.
Well, thanks very much. You have a good weekend, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on and getting to visit with everyone. And I will talk to you next month.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, and you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. That is Representative Jim Kelly right here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. We got to go to break. We'll be right back right after this Fox News at the top of the hour.